a three, a two.
Good afternoon.
Thanks, Elvis, for that,
that
intro.
Was, that was different from Mama. I feel like I was gonna like scat or something.
I can't scat.
Let's keep it about boot box.
Neither can Nico, apparently.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Welcome to a late night. Why is this a thing? All right,
late night.
Why is this a thing?
At night.
At night.
At night. Haven't we like always done these at night?
What?
No,
put
but
my hand.
At night. Oh, okay, so here's the thing. This is like very reminiscent of like when we first began.
Yeah.
How we wouldn't leave until 1 or 2 a.m. Mm. This is what.
Well, because when we started, we actually watched a movie with people.
Yes.
They left.
And we had
and
to wait
we
for
watched
everybody
something,
to leave. Yeah.
And then we recorded.
It was, oh, man.
It got very late.
Back in the day when we were in Nico's basement doing this.
Yeah.
When we had
all
like
those
no
years
jobs
ago.
And yeah,
it's old school.
Sure.
Yeah. When you watch this, when you watch this with people, were they still bad movies?
No. We would watch a good movie.
No, we would watch like seven.
Oh,
and okay. Then they'd leave, and then we'd put on
Pompidou.
Well, that's what it was.
That's a transition.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Yes, we had just movie nights. That's how it started. We were gonna just get together with a bunch of friends and watch a movie. But one night, Nick came in and said, "Zach, Nico, I've got something to show you."
Well, no, everyone left. Like the movie finished, but me, Nico, and Nick, we were all like, "Well, we're not fucking tired. Let's watch something else." And then Nick goes, "I have a show for us."
So I want you to know that when I found that show on Netflix as well, like I watched the entire first episode by myself, and I'm just like,
while you were like eating.
Whoa!
Didn't you watch it like for breakfast?
Yeah. Like he put it on. He put it on while he was like eating cereal.
It was just like whoa.
So he came in. He's like, "I got a show. It's gonna change your life."
It's gonna change your life.
And it did. I mean, in all fairness, it really did change the course of history for the three of us. We sat down, watched it, and I said, "Nick, Zach, we're recording a podcast about this right now."
Well, no, because Nick put it on because he goes, "Oh my god, you guys are gonna hate this."
Yes.
He put it on after like 2 minutes. We paused it because we were laughing so hard, and Nico was like, "Let's do a podcast.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast episode."
I got the one microphone that I had because we weren't doing a podcast together. I only owned one. For like a year, we did it with one microphone.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Literally, we sat in a line and just spoke.
Like Nick and I right now, this is pretty bad.
No.
Yeah, like if I, I mean, like yeah, if yeah, I yeah. wanted to talk to Nico, I had to lean forward in front of Nick.
Well, and the other thing was Nico was in the middle, and he's the loudest one.
Right.
Yeah. So
eventually adjusted, but what happened is because that microphone isn't like a 360 sort of, it doesn't like pick up all the sound.
It's
whoever
like
was in front of the microphone would always sound louder, and the other two it felt like they were in the other
room.
So
we don't know why we put the loudest person in front of the mic, but we did.
But the three, and yeah, we did that for like a good year. We did 8 weeks worth of Pompidou. We called it the Pompidou podcast.
We were developing theories.
Yes.
Theories.
They were developing theories.
Zach was not into
I was
it
not
at
into
all.
Theories.
It became instantly clear what this show was going to be. It became very instantly clear what the whole dynamic it was. And that was making a mountain out of a molehill of these horrible things that we
and,
watched.
And Adam, when I met you, I knew.
When I met you.
When he laid eyes on you.
I laid eyes on you across the room in one of our comm classes. And
our first comm class.
Yeah, and I just said, "Wow, this boy.
This guy looks like he's enjoying shit.
This boy is born to be a podcaster."
Yeah. Oh.
He's going to make great strides in the world of podcasting one day.
You spread over to me, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
It took you, what, like 3 years? Yeah, because it was
3 years?
It was like junior year when I finally came and did the Star Wars megacast.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That so, is true.
Right before.
Oh yeah, it took a while for you to get on.
Yeah.
Stripped. If this ever becomes anything, which it won't, but if this ever becomes anything that people actually enjoy, the oral history behind it is going to be fascinating.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Like, sure. It's going to be like a great Tonight Show segment when all of us go, "So tell me about how you started. Why is this a thing?"
Well,
Pompidou.
By then, hopefully, what? We'll each have it down so we each just give one part of the story.
Yeah. But it was like, But
it's going to be a hell of a game of flip cup with Jimmy Fallon with the Warriors, let me tell you.
No, Jimmy, shut the fuck up. We're trying to explain.
I remember you were talking Nico up a lot, too. Like, Adam, trust me, you're going to love this guy. You're just going to love him.
Well, no. But here's the thing.
That's never been done, by the way, in anywhere ever to anybody.
The thing I knew about you two, though, is, like, they will either love each other or hate each other.
Or want to kill each other.
There's no in-between with it, because...
And that's about right. Yeah, that's about. It's a fine line.
No, I knew. So I was like, well, I better talk him up.
I mean, loving, it's the same part of the brain, right? That the loving and the hating happens with, and you know, it's mostly love for now, but it could easily switch anytime.
Yeah.
It's midnight and we're doing a show, and I'm into it. I don't want to do it all the time, but it's kind of nice every once in a while. We unwind a little bit.
Brings a different mood, a different atmosphere.
Certainly does.
I currently have a headache right now.
No, but that's part of it.
Like, well, also only much giddier too.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
and we
know.
Certainly give much less of a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because right now I'm just counting down the hour until I go home.
Yes.
By the way, normally we record on like a Sunday and we release on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
I want you to also realize this is a Saturday night. Tomorrow is Easter.
It is.
And we're going to release tomorrow, I believe. Right?
Actually, Nick.
Are we?
Nick.
It's an Easter episode,
Nick,
right?
Okay.
Today is Easter.
Today is Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Do you want to release it today or do you want to wait?
I don't care.
I don't care
either. Do you think it's particularly relevant that we get this out on Easter?
This is a very Easter episode.
Oh, yeah. It's a very Easter. Why is this a thing?
I mean, we're here to celebrate.
They will play this in churches.
Yeah, we're here to celebrate the day Jesus lost his virginity. And it's, you know, well, because what? Bunnies and fertility and, right?
What?
Am I wrong? Did I get mixed up?
I don't believe Jesus ever lost his virginity.
I thought that's how Mary got pregnant.
Jesus Christ, Nicholas.
So Jesus was his own father.
Well, isn't that what it says in the Bible?
He is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Definitely being.
Well, no, he's all three at once and not. So he is the Trinity, but they're separate people.
Right.
Let that sink in. Yeah.
Okay. Triplets.
Religious paradoxes.
Okay.
Here's a podcast idea.
Why does Easter get to keep moving around on the calendar? What's up with that?
It's the Sunday after Good Friday. That's why.
Okay. Understood.
Nick.
Why does Good Friday
okay, so why
get
good...
to keep moving around the
That's
calendar?
The question. All right.
Okay.
I don't know.
Now, that actually is a very good question.
Well, it has something to do with the moons, doesn't it?
What?
No, I've always thought it had
is
something
it some
to do with
shit?
Like,
Wait, okay.
Well, it's the same reason why they put Christmas.
Now, we could look this up, but I don't want to.
So by
the end of this conversation, I don't want to know the answer. Okay? I want us to just keep speculating.
Can I know the answer?
Yeah, but just don't tell us.
Okay.
All we know is that the pagans fucked it all up.
Well, either that or, I mean, okay, I want to really push my ignorance on you, okay?
Okay. I would love it.
Doesn't it have something to do with, like, Lent and, like, 40 days after Lent is Good Friday? And then...
Sure, Nick!
Well,
fine!
Yeah, well, yeah, but then that means Ash Wednesday...
Okay, yeah.
Is a different Wednesday.
Well, because Wednesday is not the same day of the year.
Yes, it all moves around.
We cracked the case. What's the issue?
I understand that Christmas is an arbitrary day. I understand that Jesus was most likely born in, like, the summertime, and they just picked a random day to commemorate it. But at least there is some... They're pretending, right?
Well, I mean, okay, well, yeah. Those things, they all line up with pagan holidays. I found something interesting about Easter. Okay?
Go ahead.
You heard of this ancient god or some shit from some culture, some pagan shit?
called his name is God.
No, different one. Called Ishtar.
Yes, I've heard of that.
I've heard the
Ishtar is actually pronounced Easter.
Really?
Yeah. Ishtar is a female goddess or whatever, and goddess of fertility.
Mm-hmm.
Ishtar, it was supposed to be the holiday Easter is supposed to be a fertility holiday. That's why eggs and bunnies are the symbols of it. It's about fertility.
What? How are eggs and bunnies similar to fertility?
Egg, you're fucking born out of an egg. Bunnies fuck a lot.
Yes.
What do you need me to explain?
That makes sense to me.
Bunnies don't fuck a lot.
Yes, they do.
What?
You've never heard that
bunnies,
before?
Bunnies, thus the phrase, like, breeding like rabbits.
Yeah, breeding like rabbits. Rabbits have shit tons of kids
I've
really quick.
I've never heard that phrase.
What? How long does a rabbit pregnant before it has a baby? I think it's like 14 days.
Yeah.
You've never heard...
No, they're not pregnant for very long.
Are they the horniest animal?
Pretty much.
Well,
pretty much. Not horniest, but they squirt out babies.
There's only three animals in, I guess, the animal kingdom that have sex for pleasure.
I thought it was two.
No, it's well, if you count human beings.
Well, yeah, that's one.
Dolphins
it's
and
two.
Bonobo chimpanzees.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes. I don't ask me why I know that.
How did the scientists find that out? Did they like stick a finger up its butt and go ooh? Like, how do you find that out?
That's basically the test.
They
yeah.
measured the decibel of the squeaks. That's
do they do like a test with like mice? Like how do you learn this shit?
That's scientific method. That's
I how. Really want to know, like sex scientists, like animal sex scientists. Sexologists. What do they
there's,
do?
I don't think they're called that, but I'm sure there's a porno named sex scientists. That details that whole process.
We're gonna be reviewing it next week, guys. Probably.
We'll be watching Sex Scientist : the movie. Wow.
The movie.
Cows.
Cows are gonna fuck in it.
Well, it's not to a post midnight show ever again. Remind me.
Why not? No. No.
I like where this is going.
Yes. Yeah,
oh
I'm
God,
it.
We're losing it.
So, happy Easter.
Okay. So fertility
Jesus
holiday.
Jesus Christ. Die for our sins.
Ishtar is a sort of temptress, sort of erotic goddess, is what it's.
I don't. Well, okay. I think that's like a modern. I think she's probably like a fat chick.
But why? But why is she fertile though? Why is this about? Because she's a woman.
Well, okay, no. Most ancient cultures had fertility celebrations.
Okay,
that's like very normal.
Actually,
I'll
almost
give you,
all.
Yeah, pretty
ancient,
much every
yeah.
single one. Have you heard of this? You guys have probably heard of this. In Japan, there's this parade where they march around giant penises.
Yes, yeah. I want to go to that.
I've heard.
So
of
So here's the thing: in most most cultures, fertility is a.
That's pissing me off.
Oh God! Oh geez, that's horrible. In most cultures. Fertility is like a feminine thing, right? It's like, but in Japan, for some reason, fertility is all about that dick.
Mm.
So,
which makes sense.
I mean,
like,
so they used to like
I mean,
have.
Does it?
And it's what spreads
really.
The seed around.
I don't
know. It's the it's,
okay, but the seed is the woman. Like they have.
It's more of an active process for the man to fertilize an egg. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not active to carry it for 9 months. That's crazy.
No, of course. That's actually quite the opposite.
Lazy. That's lazy good for nothing.
Fucking broads.
This is going to disappoint all of our female viewers.
All of
our female viewers.
Yeah, well, good thing they're not viewing. Good thing they're listeners. Go ahead.
That'd be weird if they were viewing.
Yeah.
You sure right there? Right behind us? Yeah.
That explains the
So in Japan, they have, you'll find, like, these phallic objects all over the country.
No mm-hmm. kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It's I weird.
Mean, Japan does like the dick.
Do
the
they?
The dick.
But back to the original question.
Sure.
So regardless of this whole paganism shit, Easter changes weeks. I mean, sometimes it's in March, right? Haven't there have been March?
Yeah,
Easter
and it always now. Sneaks up on you, you know?
Because yeah. there's no date. I can't give you any rhyme or reason. I think
yeah,
like
Christmas we have a countdown for.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the same
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
Even St. Patrick's Day is the same.
Yeah, yeah, and there's order to it. I mean, even if it's not on like a specific day,
like Thanksgiving is fourth Thursday of every November.
For the most part.
I believe it's fourth Thursday.
Mm. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, I think there are loopholes within the Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I don't think there are.
Oh, really?
No, I'm pretty sure it's the fourth Thursday.
Okay. Well, whatever. But yeah, there is at least a rhyme or reason to it.
Well, it's the last Thursday in November.
Not always.
Why is
not
it
always.
The fourth Thursday? Why does it have to be Thursday?
I think it is the fourth Thursday now that I'm thinking about it.
Because there sometimes can be five Thursdays.
Why does it have to be Thursday?
Because that's just, it is.
So we can get Black Friday the next
day. Yeah, what are you fucking talking about? Come on.
We can get 2 days off.
That's your holiday.
Yeah, of course.
Is that what they were planning when they slaughtered all the Indians?
That's exactly what they were planning. They said, Black
for
Friday.
The flat screen TVs.
And they fucking just scalped them. Or the other way around.
Don't worry. The Native Americans got their revenge at the casino. Don't worry. They've gotten back at us.
All 14 of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Happy Easter.
So, point
it's
being,
after midnight.
Who is the governing body that's deciding when Jesus died every year?
It's the Jews.
Thank you for that.
It's the Jews.
They make most decisions.
The Jews? No, the Jews don't recognize Jesus.
They recognize him. They go, hey, that's Jesus. Look at that guy.
I'd explain it to you, but Nick doesn't want me to spoil it.
They could
so.
Pick. Oh, see? No, tell us the story.
No, I think it's going to ruin it.
No! No, he just said the Jews. I'm not letting him just hang like that.
Now they're going to think, why is this a thing? It's anti-Semitic.
I am not letting that just...
In fact, I'm supportive of the Jews.
I am not letting
I
that,
make that clear.
Hang out there like a flaccid penis. It's,
like
no.
A, like a big nose just hanging out there.
It's not going to hang.
I'm not... That
no, finish that thought.
Okay, so... Easter is always after Passover, which is a Jewish holiday.
Oh, see, there you go.
Okay.
Okay. And Passover changes because that's based on solar and lunar cycles.
Oh. Gotcha. So it is the pagans.
I guess.
But really, I guess we should blame the moon.
Blame the moon?
Damn you, moon.
But why are we consulting the Jews? Like, they don't, again, they don't recognize Jesus as
maybe it's because Jesus was Jewish.
I think it's because the whole first half of the Bible is written by them.
Yeah. Well, as I like to call it, the bastard God book.
Oh, whoa.
He was a bastard in the first half.
God was an asshole. Dang you, God, you're a bastard.
He was a dick. God was a dick in the Old Testament.
I'm sorry, I'm a fan of Old Testament God.
Oh, no, I love Old Testament God.
Yeah, I'm
if he's a dick.
My dad's Old Testament God.
Yes. No, there's nothing wrong with it.
Shockingly profound statement you just made. That is shockingly profound. You've just summed up my entire childhood with that one, dude.
No, Daddy, no.
That's one of my favorite one of your jokes, by the way. I love that joke.
That's one of my favorite one of your jokes.
Oh, shut up. Bad grammar. No, what? I love that joke. It's my shit. It's
okay.
Shit.
Well, no, because there's like good jokes and then Nick's jokes. Yeah. So they do deserve two separate.
Well, I don't actually know who invented that one.
What?
Not that there's anything wrong with that. My dad's whatever. Who invented that?
That's a Seinfeld scene.
Okay, so there you go. There you go. That's where it's from.
I don't know if there's anything wrong with that.
No, but that's what he said.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that, I forgot. Okay. Yeah, not there's anything wrong with that. My father's gay.
Yeah.
George says
that's,
my father's
that's
gay.
The original joke.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay. Can we get to it? We have a lot to get to today.
Happy Easter. So as per our tradition, which we've been very bad at, which we always are, it's the same.
Sure.
Adam, I got you an Easter gift.
Being bad at traditions is our only tradition.
that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, well, yeah, we're bad at something.
Right.
I got you an Easter gift.
You got me an Easter
gift. I got you an Easter gift.
I've never had an Easter gift before, ever in my life.
What do you think it is?
It's a live bunny.
It's a bunny's head.
Well, by now, it's going to be, what, like 10 bunnies?
Just hop around. I have no idea what it is.
Is this a multi-part gift? I think it is.
There's a couple things in there.
Okay.
Well, take out the...
There's just two things in there.
Take out the shoddily wrapped tissue paper.
Two things in
that
there?
That got put in... Very shiny.
It's a snitch.
It's a snitch.
I was thinking the golden egg in...
There's a snook and a snatch. Sorry, what?
No, it's a snook and a sniz.
I was thinking the golden egg from Goblet of Fire, actually.
Yeah.
I was thinking the
only
eggs that the
goose
is laying in Willy Wonka.
I'm thinking of Jack and the Beanstalk goose. Like,
whoa.
Nick, really?
You should see how it fucked up my car.
Oh, shit.
That is
that's getting everywhere.
Oh, no. It's like those like glittery streamer things. What are those?
Tinsel?
It's like just glittery fucking pubic hair all filled inside of this golden egg.
Did you really fill that thing with that gold fucking that silver grass shit for two gift cards?
Well, this is great.
That's just to make up for the other thing I got you. I felt bad.
You got a little AMC
gift
card.
So I got good news first.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was in an Easter egg, by the way.
So a giant gold
Easter
egg filled
Easter egg.
With... Yeah, no, that's $3 at Target.
Did I see that?
I'm keeping an Easter egg.
$3 at Target.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a really nice egg.
It's like what princes and princesses used to have.
What? Yeah, that's right.
This is an odd one.
What?
What the fuck is this? Scooby-Doo, the movie.
I love Scooby-Doo!
Wait, the Easter collection.
What is that?
What is it, the first two?
I don't know.
The first two, like they made more.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
There's nothing Easter related. Written by James Gunn, by the way.
No!
Yeah.
James Gunn wrote that?
Yeah, he did.
That actually kind of makes sense.
Hold on. You have a two-player Spooky Island arcade challenge.
Oh, I can't. Well, now I can't wait.
Now, Adam, my
what makes this
my
so
homework
special?
For you is I'm you have confused. To actually watch this.
I am not gonna watch.
You have to watch every second of it.
Can I take that?
Yeah,
I'll take that homework because I kind of love that movie.
Oh,
so did Walmart just say, "All right, we got to put something out on the Easter aisle so parents can stuff the Easter baskets"?
I'm gonna tell you something. I don't have a fucking clue.
Because all right, so the cover of this DVD,
I can't figure it out either.
It says Scooby Doo the movie, and it's got sort of like a little pink border.
This is a live action, by the way.
Yeah, the live action one from the early 2000s with Freddie Prinze Jr. and others,
and others.
And it yeah, it has an Easter egg on it, and as if this is something special for the season.
But then, if you notice, that's just the outer cardboard cover.
Right, yeah.
And the DVD on the inside is just the regular.
Right. So this has nothing to do with Easter whatsoever.
It's a sleeve.
Unless, like, in... Like, in the case,
we'll have
there's,
to see.
Like, a download code
well,
for something.
Let's find out. Nothing.
Nothing?
That's hysterical. Nothing.
So you get the collector's edition DVD case cover.
Where did you get this?
I'm so happy.
Walmart.
This is a Walmart.
You're 100% right.
100% Walmart thing.
That's hilarious, man. That's...
I went to Walmart and Target for you guys.
What brilliant, brilliant
Easter collect. They could have at least thrown in the second one. I'm sorry.
You could have.
Yeah, it's not even a collection.
It's one movie.
God damn it. Why do I have this movie?
I really just wanted you to have that on your shelf. I mean,
have you
That's going to taint your shelf.
Have I seen it? Yes, I've seen it.
I am I'm not putting this on my shelf. It's I have like a special rack for movies that I don't want.
The reject rack?
Yes, I do.
It's like the ones that you find at the like dollar bin at Walmart.
It's like the things like my aunt would give me when I was like 10 years old. That I'm just like, oh, I have this piece of shit, and I'm just gonna throw it up top.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I have my reject.
The Islet of Misfit DVDs.
Oh wow. Why is this Easter collection?
I can't figure it out. I was hoping you would. I really was.
It doesn't take place during Easter, does it?
No, nothing about it is Easter.
No, it takes place during summer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They go to like an amusement park, do they?
They go to Spooky Island, yeah.
Right, yeah. Scrappy Doo's the villain, right? Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler! Yeah.
Doesn't
spoiler.
He turn out to be the bad guy behind everything?
Whoa.
Wow, that movie is.
Yeah, he's in a robot.
Isn't like Sarah Michelle Gellar in it too?
Yeah, she is. Daphne.
She's Daphne.
Who else is in it?
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Who plays Velma?
Some who cares?
The chick from Freaks and Geeks. Who the hell is. What's her name? Let me figure this out.
I don't know, but she's pretty.
She's pretty, pretty.
Linda Cardellini.
Yes.
Linda Cardellini, yes, yes.
Why does her last name sound like a pasta dish?
Because she's Italian?
Jesus Christ.
It's all Italian names. Okay, we got a lot to get to today. Oh. We burned a third of the show already.
No, that's what I like. That's what I like to hear.
It's only been 20 minutes.
You ready for this, you guys? Food Fight. It's a movie that we watch. I'm not really sure why. Oh, you want to sort of loosely tie it to Easter in your Nick bullshit way?
Oh, yeah.
You want to drop this on me?
I think it relates pretty strongly to Easter.
Yeah. 6 degrees of Evangelista?
Yes. As we all
I don't
tomorrow...
know what it is about midnight with you, but you get like 10 times funnier. You're like Cinderella.
Well, my jokes don't change.
You leave your fucking glass slipper. You fucking...
The clock strikes midnight and then all of a sudden you've transformed into this weird...
No, you just get really tired and think everything's funny because my jokes quality don't change. I mean, they really don't.
Yeah, maybe that's... You know what? That's exactly what
I'd make that joke if we were recording at noon.
That's exactly what it is. All right, give me the 6 degrees of Evangelista.
When we all gather tomorrow to have dinner with our families, you know, and we're all saying grace, I want you to remember that this food that you picked up at the grocery store could have not been there at all.
Right.
Could have been chemically enhanced to... what is it? Deservative? Instead of preservatives?
Quit spitting the damn egg.
You know, that egg was in my ass. I just want you to know that. Egg was in my ass earlier.
That's the most ghetto ass Fabergé egg I've ever seen in my life. It's either the classiest Easter egg or the shittiest Fabergé egg.
Everybody's aunt owns one of those.
Definitely.
I'm having too much fun right now. Oh, by the way, that video that you sent us on Facebook about the top and the cake being cut wrong.
Yo, fuck you.
That was one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Okay, what was... How do you really describe that?
A bunch of things being done very incorrectly.
It's just...
I also recently shared one that specifically pisses off women. It's just people slowly destroying makeup products.
Yes, I saw that one.
They just take lipstick and just push it down.
Yeah, I saw that one.
Oh,
that's good shit, man.
That's some good stuff. Okay, what were you saying?
So, when you're saying grace and you're being thankful for all the food on your table, and just keep in mind that food may have not been there if not for the brave actions of this dog and his and his weird human cat girlfriend, which was strangely bestial in nature. Yeah. Right. Happy Easter.
Food fight is a
Don't forget about the Nazis. The food Nazis.
Hey, it's a ladybug. What's up?
Don't you dare.
Kill it.
Don't kill it.
Kill
Don't
it.
Kill it.
Just throw it. Just
He'll
throw
rise it. Again. It's Easter.
Come down. Oh, oh, no. Oh, God. Not the egg.
Not the egg. Not the egg.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, my God. Adam, don't hit the table.
I killed a ladybug.
With the egg!
You just splattered.
Holy fucking shit. There are ladybug guts all over the table right now. Holy shit. Hold on,
wow, we at really night. Can't record but at night.
Oh, wow. Clean up your mess.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Food Fight is a 2012 animated film. And I...
With Fozzies.
Well, I have a hard time describing it because I don't believe it's a film. I don't think this can be classified
as a film. It's a film in, like, the purest of definitions.
no, I would say it's the most perverse of definitions in order to get this to be a film. Apparently there's a story behind this, and I think before we go any further, because I'm very confused by the whole thing, Zach, can you please tell us this story?
Yes. So, the director and one of the writers and producer, whatever, and someone else helped raise the money for this movie, and they originally, they got $25 million for this movie back in, they originally submitted the idea in 1999, and they started work on it in late 2001.
Which, by the way, $25 million should be enough.
Yeah.
Do they? Well, do you need anything else?
At the time.
Well, no, hold on. So, in late 2002, early 2003, the hard drive that all, like, the unfinished animation and everything was stolen.
Wow.
Yeah.
By so, Pixar.
Well, no. So,
Steve Justin, Jobs snuck in.
No, is it Justin Kasanoff? Jason?
Lawrence Kasanoff.
Lawrence?
I don't know who this guy is.
Justin Lawrence.
Same thing. So,
this guy does not have a Wikipedia page.
So Kasanoff, he called it an act of industrial espionage.
Okay.
Is what he called it.
Was this supposedly one of the first animated films that was going to exist? I mean, when did Toy Story come out? Because that was one of the first, like, 3D animated.
No, that was 95.
Okay, so...
Yeah, no.
So this is... So what espionage
Pixar was occurring? Pixar was well established.
So, okay, then what espionage was occurring?
I don't know.
Like, the next level animation style?
I don't know. But so...
Okay, Lawrence Kasanoff is one of the minds behind the Mortal Kombat movie from 1995. I believe. I'm not sure what he exactly did.
But... That movie is bullshit.
That was awful.
Okay, well, there you
anyway,
go.
Anyway... So yeah, the hard drive got stolen in late 2002, early 2003. Then other backers came in, and they started funding it again to try to get it released in 2005, but they missed the day. And then it was 2008, and they missed the day again. And then
What?
They missed what
yeah.
day?
I'm sorry, well, yeah, what are
the
you
release
talking
date.
What do you mean?
They... Like, it was supposed to be done by a certain time, and the company time? They just didn't finish it.
Why?
I don't know.
Because their hard drive
like
got
they
stolen?
Just like they just couldn't
three
finish
three times.
So
wow.
So it was, I think it was 2005, 2008, 2011, mm-hmm. and then the company went, like, I don't know if they went bankrupt or whatever, but they lost like the rights to the movies in a lawsuit. So what they decided to do in that time of trying to redo the movie, they did, instead of regular animation, they tried using motion capture. To sort of speed it up.
Okay.
And it was still late. And so one of the distribution films, I think it was Lionsgate, won the all the stuff for the movie in 2011. They finished it as quickly as possible and released it in 2012.
So are you telling me this animation was done in 2011?
In the years between 2003 and 2011.
I don't know how that's possible. I don't know how you can spend 9 years and come up with that bad of animation.
With $45 million.
They literally spent $45 million on this movie.
Is this... Am I also supposed to... So all of these voice actors
recorded this in late 2001.
Did?
Yeah.
And right. Then they didn't see the light of day until 11 years later.
Yeah, pretty much.
What?
No, and a lot of the wow. like a lot of the writers and producers and whatever refused to put this on their like professional resumes and everything like that because of like the just the story behind it. But
I mean, Charlie Sheen's name is on this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nico, you're big on box office numbers.
I am.
Right. So
hit me.
So I found it.
Yeah.
So it cost $45 million.
So it needed to make 90.
And it, okay, yes. So you got to figure, but they raised $25 million, and they probably paid the cast.
Yeah.
Back in the early 2000s. So I got to imagine that not a lot of that money went to the cast, right? They were probably priced out fairly reasonably. Like, there's no way you can spend more than $10 million on this voice cast, right? I understand Charlie Sheen was like sort of in the peak of his career at this point, but still. Can't be that much to get Charlie Sheen for your animated movie, right? This has got to be just years and years and years of animation.
Well, but the director kept wanting them to redo the animations and everything like that.
Wow, okay. So go ahead.
Until it was just perfect.
Yeah,
like the way it came out.
So
okay, perfect.
So film had a $45 million. Does anyone want to guess
how much
it made at the box office?
$1.
$1 million.
70,000.
Well, my guess is that it probably never made it into the theater.
No, it did.
It did. Yeah, can't be more than $500,000.
Adam was closest. $73,706.
Oh wow! So, telling me is this was a flop?
Well. You think?
Yeah.
Who paid for this? Who has to? I don't have think this they know anymore. On their books. They probably lost sight of it by now.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm looking into this right now. The Times, that's right, the New York Times wrote a long sort of profile on this movie from 2013. It's called "Placing Products: Try Casting Them." Yes. The Rise and Fall of the Computer Animated Food Fight. And this looks like a fascinating story. And I think after the show is over, I'm going to go and read this, and I recommend that you do the same thing at home. But this is sort of, I guess, becoming more obvious to me. Toy Story comes out in 1995
mm-hmm.
with that sort of style of animation. And one of the brilliant things about Toy Story, and I realize this in hindsight, is when you make an animated movie about toys, you have an opportunity to sell a shit ton of toys. That's what was such a brilliant idea about it.
Sure.
It's like we can sell a bunch of like Mr. Potato Heads afterwards. Yeah. I think we can get like a little piece of that action. We can sell Buzz Lightyear action figures. We have all of this sort of built-in product placement. That was clearly the idea here. We're just going to pitch this to a bunch of food companies as we're making a movie about brands. It's going to make you look really good. Hop on board. And according to this article, he expected, this is what it says, the director of this thing, what was his name, Kazanov, he predicted a huge $100 million tie-in merchandising campaign
yeah.
with the film being promoted by partners like Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola. There would be food fight web episodes, storybooks, plush toys, and possibly a live stage show, Food Fight on Ice.
Oh, that makes me sick. I could
see how this pitch would have just like these big money bag idiots just fucking coming in their just pants.
Drooling. Yeah, no.
It makes sense.
It makes
right?
a lot of sense.
Such concession were typically the 2 year spent negotiating with more than 80 food industry characters yeah. to appear in Food Fight, a computer animated movie that was announced in 2000 by Threshold Entertainment. Larry Kasdan proclaimed the project featuring a voice cast led by Charlie Sheen and Eva Longoria would help Threshold's animation arm become, quote, the next generation Pixar.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because the business model at that point, like, kind of made some sense.
Product
right?
of its time there.
Yeah, well, and you got to think because even the characters that they had in the film, but the main characters are all made up.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a feeling.
That yeah, no, dog looked all, kind of familiar to
me. No, they're all made up. But you got to think they had Charlie the Sun-Kissed Tuna.
Yep.
They had the California Raisins.
Yeah. Yep, they did.
They had Mr. Clean. They had Mrs. Butterworth.
Mr. Clean was the best character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just he was lurking. Just a yeah. so menace.
So they got they got big people in to be like, yeah, you can use our products.
For sure.
But
they did, yeah. What the fuck, though?
Yeah.
They had that weird frog dude.
What? Mr. Casanova.
That's from something.
That wasn't the Sugar Smack Frog.
No.
I have no clue. No.
Mr. Casanova raised an initial $25 million for production costs in conjunction with a Korean investment consortium. And expected the rest of the budget.
Are you just going to read this article?
Yeah, no, which was projected at $50 million would come from foreign pre-sales and loans against those sales.
Yeah.
What is this guy? This guy's so fucking ambitious here. Mm. He worked with IBM for an on-demand processing power off-site, an early precursor to cloud computing.
What?
That Mr. Casanova predicted would save the production millions in operating expenses. This guy literally thought he was, like, changing cinema.
Yeah.
With this thing.
What an asshole.
He also decided that he would produce and direct despite never having supervised a full-length animated feature.
You know what's amazing is this guy had some vision. He really did. Like, he could see what was happening in the world. He just, like, couldn't put it on paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he had vision, I think.
He knew what to do. He didn't know how to do it.
I think he got it. I think he did understand what was happening. I just think he didn't execute well.
Really?
Well, yeah, because even... You can't say even now, if you were to remake this movie, but try to do a movie like this where you get all of these big names.
I still think that's a terrible idea. I'm going to be honest with you.
You do?
I think it's too on the nose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's way too on the nose. It's like, a kid's not going to go see this movie and be like, I want fucking Mr. Clean Towels. Like, nobody gives a shit. Like, the kids aren't going to care.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. Or at least it'll subliminally, embed those messages.
Oh, I would have loved to have seen the parents in the theater taking their kids to this. And with the film's sense of humor, shall we say, was this targeted for kids? I mean, it was targeted for kids, but...
On the IMDb, you know how they give you, like, the genres?
Yeah.
The first one is family.
But the jokes in this movie and some of the imagery is...
Sexist and racist? Yes, it is.
Yes.
And blatantly sexual as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that this movie was not targeted at kids. I think they just made it legal for kids to watch.
Yeah. Which you said when we were watching.
Yes. Hold that thought as I read the following paragraph from the New York Times
article. As the production wore on,
the more overt innuendo began to give staff members pause. The villainous Lady X performs a seductive dance in a schoolgirl outfit for Dex, who appears to sport a visible reaction in his trousers. I missed that part.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
When his knees quaked.
When his knees got weak.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
McKee Foods wouldn't allow Daredevil Dan... McKeefus wouldn't allow Daredevil Dan to make cat calls at Little Debbie. One stag mascot was to declare a case of peanut envy, quote unquote. It is not unusual in the animation industry for workers to amuse themselves by sexualizing their characters. I thought they're, quote, just having fun with this. It won't make it into the finished film, said an animator, Mona Weiss. But they did.
Well, okay, so did they say peanut envy?
But this was stuff that was, I guess, rejected.
I think I said this while we were watching it too. But this movie felt like it was a, like, perverted, like, bestiality fanfic, right? Mm. Because this dog character looked so much like a dog. And then the cat character that he was, like, which is also kind of weird. The cat character that he was in love with, who was actually a raisin brand lady, was a human looking. And, like, they kept, like, almost kissing and, like, basically...
She looked human just enough to make it uneasy.
So basically, my theory is that this is a bestiality fanfic that this guy convinced tons of
they got $45 million
to fucking invest $45 million into just so he can make his creepy fanfic.
I think it's a little more cynical because I think
so creepy.
The thing about a fanfic is that there's some real passion behind it. Like if you write fanfic, you are into whatever the fuck you're writing about. This guy, I think, was just trying to make a cash grab because from what I understand, he was like, a producer.
Well, was he the one who added those scenes in?
I mean, I'm not really sure.
I'm sure he had.
Somebody had some weird bestiality thing going on though in the back of their mind.
It's like a big fuck you to the studio or something.
I don't know what the deal was, but
they, but I heard they didn't get any money from the products, from the brands.
Right. I guess ultimately they didn't. Yeah. I mean, I think that was the initial goal.
They just got the okay to use the brands.
I guess did they expect
because they were expecting the brands to make a lot of money and give back some of the money to the makers of the movie.
Well, that's quite a leap to make.
Yeah.
That's craziness, dude. Wow. The Threshold, is that what it is? Threshold Films?
Mm-hmm.
Remains in operation and is soliciting money on Kickstarter for a documentary on meditation. It is yet to tackle a second animated feature.
I wonder why.
Good.
This is a fascinating story. Read this article here, you guys. But man, oh man. We should explain what the plot of this is.
Oh, real quick, I want to talk about the animation.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. what was the exact analogy I used at the beginning? I said it was Gary's Mod.
Yes.
Mixed with what?
Jimmy Neutron.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
What is Gary's Mod?
Okay, so Gary's Mod. So this is what you need to understand. So you've seen the most famous example of the Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life video.
Yes.
You've seen that.
Yes.
Now, that animation style is actually taken from a, I guess you can call it a video game.
It is a video game. They use the video game engine to make all, yeah.
It was the Steam engine, right?
I don't think so. I think Gary's Mod has its own.
They're all Valve characters, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it
Gary's
started.
Gary's Mod is a game created by Valve, and basically you can install and download and add all these like weird plugins. So basically the Shrek characters and everything were like plugins. You know, you see the wacky animation, how, like, the arms come out crazy and shit.
Well, because the idea of Gary's Mod was to be able to
allow anybody to create any game they wanted using that.
So, like, there's whole games that they actually sell that are just Gary Mod.
There's one that's very famous called Prop Hunt.
Prop Hunt.
Okay.
Which is, you know, but...
And, like, Trouble in Terrorist Town is
But a lot of these dumb videos are made using that animation style.
Okay.
And it's just horrible. It's just not a good animation.
Right.
It's not meant to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what makes it so great.
It's supposed to be very rudimentary.
Yeah. And that's what this looks like. I mean, it looks like early Jimmy Neutron with all these weird, bright, vivid colors and, like, the 3D doesn't quite look right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Movements of the characters.
Yeah, and, like, the dimensions in space just don't make sense.
Yeah, there's no sense of space whatsoever.
None.
No. Like, a thing that is big in one frame becomes totally small in another.
My favorite was... I can't remember when in the movie, but a character, clearly they were supposed to be jumping.
Yeah.
But all they did was just bring it forward.
right at the beginning when, what is it, Dex? Is that his name, the dog?
Yeah. Dex Dogtective.
Yeah. Dex Dogtective.
That's his fucking name.
He jumps off of this hot air balloon thing that he pops.
Yeah,
and
they just...
when he's falling, they literally didn't animate him at all. They just made him move.
So to get him to jump, they moved his arms up. But then they just took that and rotated upside down as he was falling.
And then he just fell. The image just was like it was a fucking JPEG.
Very
clear. Yeah, then they just,
There was one character who is a weasel, I believe. It's the it's the one, like the slimy.
Cheadle? Was his name Cheadle the Weasel?
See, I kept thinking this character was like glitching
was
out and they had no idea. Something like that?
It sounded like Weasel.
Sorry, Cheezle. No. I was just saying that. It's funny you were talking about Gary's Mod because I kept... Whenever I saw this character on screen, I was just like, was this glitching out in the animation and they had no idea what to do with it?
So the original animation was supposed to be, and I quote, stretch and...
Oh, boy.
That was in the article I just read.
Oh, fuck, what was it?
Oh, and I have it here.
Squash and stretch or something
squash
like that. Yeah, so it's supposed to be like the
squash and stretch.
Squash and stretch, yeah.
The figure's performing wildly exaggerated motions.
Yeah.
Why would it
the style of the Looney Tunes shorts?
Yeah, no, but that's not good though.
That's what it says.
Yeah. Well no, so that was supposed to be the whole thing. And then they started doing the motion capture, thus the really bad animation. But then the weasel is like sort of the final aspect of the squash and stretch to the extreme.
It's so exaggerated.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Like, he moves his head, and now his head's, like, 20 feet that way.
He literally took his head, went behind his back, underneath his legs, and came out where his dick should be.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
He could stick his head up his ass.
He literally can stick his head up his own asshole.
Wow. So after this multi-year break, it says Mr. Kasanoff had a new idea, one that probably sealed the film's fate. He wanted to direct it like a live-action movie.
Yeah.
Complete with retakes, motion capture performances, and more spontaneity.
Yeah.
And it says here, as a result, he and the animators were speaking two different languages.
Well, yeah. There was a quote I came across from one of the animators. They said, it's like he doesn't understand animation because he would come in and be like, no, I want to redo this scene. But you can't just redo it. You have to totally reanimate the entire thing because it throws everything off.
He wanted to make it in the moment like you would make any other movie, but that's not how animation is. Animation is computer-generated stuff. A roving Mr. Kazanov, animator said, would request things like be, quote-unquote, more awesome.
Yeah, that's the quote.
Or, quote-unquote, 30% better. That's like his notes he would give to the animators. And didn't understand why someone trained in texture couldn't do modeling work. The production's previous software had allowed for such flexibility, but the new software, Maya, was geared towards specialists. This is nuts, dude.
Yeah.
He outsourced it to a bunch of other different people.
That's why he kept missing, like, the release dates and everything like that. It's because he saw it, and he was like, no, change it. And then they had to rush to change it, and it wasn't good, so they had to redo it, and he just kept missing the days until eventually they lost the rights to the film.
Mr. Kazanov sourced out part of the production to House of Moves, a motion capture company, and Image Metrics, which had developed software to sync animation to a voice actor's filmed performance. Ooh. But Image Metrics had a limitation. Performers had to stare straight ahead and keep still. The result was subdued, with eyes appearing vacant or looking in the wrong direction. And that's exactly what you got here. And you also had lips that didn't quite move voices.
Well, it didn't move enough. If they That's were, like, what yelling. It was. Yeah, just, like, barely open. Yeah.
Right. It's as if they were, like, murmuring the entire time.
Yeah. So bizarre.
Well, and Nick and I commented at one point, she was supposed to be the Sunshine character.
Yeah, they were embracing.
Yeah, they were supposed to be, like, looking at each other, but she's, like, just looking to the right of his head.
No, she was looking above his head.
Well, no,
he was looking to the left.
Well, no, she was like, off to the left and up for some fucking reason.
She was looking almost into the camera.
Yeah. Where
the camera would be.
That's so weird that this is mocap. That puts a whole other layer on things.
Yeah.
I mean about it. There's a very conscious exaggeration in animation that makes it feel alive, and the mocap didn't work like that, Mr. Wyattrak said. It gave you the first pass of animation, but it wasn't particularly lively. Animators would have to attempt to apply plasticity to natural movements, which only increased their jarring motion. That makes this is now making it so very clear.
Yeah.
This is it. This is
so illuminated. Essentially, it was a very poorly done motion capture of people moving, but then he wanted it more exaggerated.
Right.
So they, like, fucked with that.
Yes. And that just made it worse.
So it wasn't... So it's not...
Oh, my.
It's not really a product of the time, because we know what those animations
could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
It's the director wanting it to be something that it physically couldn't do, but he was like, Steve Jobs. No, it's going to happen.
Yeah, but that's also, like, people like Andy Serkis, for example, who's, like, the king of mocap, like, but he sort of studies movement. And this is years and years of watching film and
yeah, like, Andy Serkis has it down to a science.
Right.
Andy Serkis is an actor.
Yes.
Yeah,
there's a craft to it, and this guy is just a madman. This is unbelievable.
This is like the Tommy Wiseau of animation.
It's so funny, though. Whenever we get these bad movies that we love laughing at, there's always one crazy person behind them.
Yeah.
It's never like just the culmination of a lot of bad people getting together. It's always one guy that just fucks it up for everybody. You know what I mean?
That's all it takes.
That's really what it is. Because most of the people working on these things are competent.
Well, but it has to be the right guy who's going crazy, i.e., the director of this movie.
Yeah.
It's the like producer of this movie, one of the writers of this movie. Like, it's all the same guy. The guy who pretty much got all the funding.
It's like the uniquely bad, though. I don't see a crazy person behind Thanksgiving.
Right.
Just a couple idiots who want to make a shitty movie.
Yes.
No, but that's purposeful.
Yeah.
You're in on the joke.
And that's the culmination of a bunch of idiots coming together.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Not one guy who thinks he's all that.
Yeah, I think ultimately, like, most people that work on movies are in on the joke, right?
And yeah.
That are sort of aware of what they're doing
they and should
do
be.
It. But in a way that, you know, only the most brilliant movies are the from the minds of real auteurs and real, like, geniuses, the same is true for really bad. Like, it has to be just a psychopath that is wasting everyone's time all day and doesn't know that he's wasting everyone's time. It's so weird. We should talk about the plot of this because we're really getting deep into this podcast here.
But I do want to say this, though. Like, I think the story behind this is much more interesting.
It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's truly fascinating stuff.
It's definitely something that I'm probably going to search up the that Times article.
Yeah.
Mm. Even though you probably read 90%.
I'm going to tell you guys something.
And I did.
Yeah.
We have this big list of shows that we you know, plan to do. This was one of those things that we had written down forever ago. Nobody knew who put it down or how it got there. Nobody had really heard of it. We need to do more of these because every time we do.
I heard of it. I just never connected it.
But like, we've heard of it. But like, you know what I mean? We didn't know anything about it, is my point, really.
Yeah. We've been sitting on this for a while.
And we're like, it probably won't be like it. We need to do a few more of these because I think these really.
I think there's
the
a
ones
few
that we forgot about.
I think there's a few on that list where.
There definitely are.
100%.
Let me read you the cast for this movie, because
it's kind of a great cast.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm making a random kids animated movie, like I would be.
You want 95% of those names.
Absolutely. I don't want Charlie Sheen anymore.
I don't want Charlie Sheen or like
not
Hilary
anymore.
Duff, but...
Not anymore.
So Charlie Sheen plays the main character in this movie.
No, I'm
this is one of his few top billing movies he's ever done. Amazing. You know, or at least since the '80s. You know, it's like Wall Street and
since like Hot Shots.
Yeah, it's
just... Oh my gosh. Yeah,
Charlie Sheen plays
Hot Shots is a
Dex detective. You have Hilary Duff in there as his love interest, Sunshine Goodness.
Only at the beginning and end, by the way.
Only at the beginning and end. Peak Hilary Duff at the time, early 2000s. You have Eva Longoria, who is credited as Eva Longoria Parker because she was married to Tony Parker at the time. Not Tony Parker when she was doing the voice for this movie, though. Wayne Brady makes an appearance.
He was a racist squirrel. Pretty much.
No, as a victim of racial oppression, squirrel.
Oh. He participated.
No, he... It's Wayne Brady. He knew what the fuck he was doing.
He participated.
Christopher Lloyd is in this fucking thing.
Yes.
As the best character.
This was...
Well, yeah.
I could watch this on loop for hours. This would cure me of cancer.
Just that first scene we have of him.
I'm choking on my fucking water.
It's so... fucking funny.
Chris Kattan, Larry Wilmore, Ed Asner, Jerry Stiller, Christine Baranski. Oh, Lawrence Kasdanoff plays the weasel. Harvey Fierstein, Cloris Leachman. Good cast.
Yeah.
Like, recognizable names throughout this entire thing. It's so bizarre. The movie essentially follows a detective dog. His name is literally
Dog Detective.
who it sort of starts as like a noir. Well, first it's like an Indiana Jones ripoff.
Yeah.
He's just fighting some criminals on the streets of this supermarket.
Not on the streets.
Yeah.
In a hot air balloon above the streets.
Right.
That's true.
Yes. Just fighting some bad guys. We come to find out that he is a detective, but also like a celebrity. Like the paparazzi keeps reporting on him. He's like a superstar detective.
Well, because he's. They said he's like running the town.
Yeah, he's head of the USDA. Yeah, he's like the sheriff.
Which I loved, by the way.
I mean, this dude just does everything.
Yeah.
It's like during the day he's solving crimes, and at night he's like, you know,
he's running Copa Banana.
Yeah, Dex Dog Detective, seen with a new piece of arm candy. It's like, you know, what I mean? This is supposed to be what happens at the supermarket at night. I don't necessarily think the execution reflected that ambition, because all of a sudden when night falls on this random supermarket, the complete reality of the world changes.
Yeah, they have like triple wide streets.
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a
skyscrapers.
I think they could have made that work, obviously. Like, they could, you know, somebody jumps and then they just quickly do a zoom out and you see it's in a regular grocery store and it's like, and then they go back to the scene, right? Like,
sure.
They've done things like this
before.
Well,
almost like in like in Sausage Party.
Or like in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was watching this and I was thinking like, I wonder if Seth Rogen was a little inspired by this
No
movie.
Shot. Are you see you think Seth Rogen saw this?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. I don't know if he saw it, but I gotta believe he heard of it. He was like, oh, let's do that.
Seth Rogen rolled a fat ass blunt, sat down, and he watched Food Fight. 100%.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With fucking James Franco.
Whoever else.
Jonah Hill.
Evan Goldberg.
I bet
you
James Franco is writing a thesis on these crazy directors, which is why he's working on The Disaster Artist.
Yeah.
Because he's a fucking little priss like that.
Yeah.
Priss.
Maybe. But. It's not like Sausage Party, though. It's not like they're just hanging out on the shelves.
No, like, it doesn't make sense like Sausage Party does, where Even as they're moving, they're clearly walking down the aisle of the grocery store.
It's just basic world building. That's all. Yeah. Like, literally, you go there, and it's just a bunch of mascots in a completely different world that does not, at all, it's not reminiscent of a grocery store whatsoever.
Like, that itself should have been its own thing.
Well, let's diagnose this, though. I mean,
let's diagnose this.
When you're writing a script, he's probably writing, like, outside the grocery store, and then all of a sudden he goes, cut. Right? And then he's like, they're on top of a hot air balloon, fighting above the streets. Like, you know what I mean? He was just writing it. He wasn't thinking about the visuals.
Clearly.
He was watching 10 movies at once. He was like, okay, I like it.
Well, and that's what pissed me off, is he kept pulling these great quotes from, like, famous movies that I couldn't name. But...
there's a few Casablanca.
I thought they were Casablanca. I wasn't quite sure.
I noticed immediately he was wearing the clothes that Humphrey Bogart was wearing in Casablanca. I was like,
Casablanca. And his club is the Copa Banana.
I know. And I was like, and then of course he has the gin joints and, you know. Well, I was just like,
but
okay,
it just pissed me off. I was like, stop. Yeah. Stop it.
It had like It's a Wonderful Life and 12 Angry Men as posters in the back. I was
Dial M for Motive.
12 Hungry Men.
12 Hungry Men, Dial B for Burger.
Mm-hmm. It was so stupid.
So Lawrence Kasdanoff came up with the story for this, along with a man by the name of Joshua Wexler.
Yeah, he was also one of the...
But they did not write the screenplay, which actually, again, makes...
Wait, I thought he did.
Total sense. No, they just did the story.
Who wrote the screenplay?
The screenplay was written by three writers. Brent Friedman, Rebecca Swanson, and Sean Derrick.
Then hold on. Because then Kasdanoff has a big ego issue, because as they were rolling, it showed, like, screenwriters, and it included himself.
What?
Yeah, I mean, he might have been sort of given credit on the script, but he did not actually write any of the dialogue. Like, that's happened before. Like, people that have developed the story get, like, screenwriting credit. According to IMDb, he did not write the script. This brings it into sort of a fuller picture for me, because... I was stricken by the fact that the script is at least competently written. Mm. I said this multiple times.
No, you did.
As I was watching the thing. It's like the banter, it's not good per se, and sure, it's ripping off a lot of other movies, and it's all of that.
But there's something to it.
I mean, it's sort of snappy, and there's a few, like, decent laughs, and it actually feels structured like a traditional sort of animated script, whereas everything else, as the New York Times article hinted at, was totally out of step. The animation is not competent. The sort of world building of it, the whole sense of this being a motion picture is just completely lacking. But the script feels like it was something that they just hired a bunch of writers, just a bunch of generic Hollywood writers to work on. This actually makes total sense.
I mean, at least with the dialogue for some of the characters.
Sure.
Yeah.
It just feels like, okay, this kind of makes sense, which would, like, if I brought this to Charlie Sheen, and, you know, his agent was sort of just flipping through it on a Saturday afternoon because he wants to get him, like, a little cheap little gig working in a booth for a week.
To pay for his new BMW.
Whatever it was.
For all that coke.
For his AIDS medicine?
I could understand. I could understand looking at this script and being like, okay, this is not bad. I'm Boston, dude.
Zach, we can't afford a lawsuit.
I am skating on by. I'm putting my skates on and I am gone, dude.
Strap on those Heelys.
Strap them on, man.
Oh, my God.
So, like, the script makes a lick of sense. The movie, not so much. Charlie Sheen plays the main character, Dex Dog Detective.
We still haven't gotten into this plot.
No. Yeah. His girlfriend, Sunshine Goodness, goes missing. And his friend, Daredevil Dan, played by Wayne Brady, chocolate Wayne Brady, also sort of goes missing.
Well, no, hold on. So is the squirrel like a... like a a chocolate bunny for Easter? Like, is he just a squirrel?
If it makes you feel any better, sure. If it helps you tie.
Well, no, like, is that what it was?
I think so. I think that's what it is. He sort of vanishes and is suspected in a string of murders around.
Gets dark.
Does really very get dark. Gets really dark. Soon we are introduced to this character played by Christopher Lloyd. Do you know what his name is?
Mr. Clipboard.
Mr. Clipboard.
Mr. Clipboard barges in to the grocery store one
in
day.
Fantastic fashion.
Barges is a word.
He is meth the fuck out. Zach is waving his arms like an inflatable
tube man. That's Mr. Clipper.
But he has legs.
Yeah, he's moving.
Yes. Every goddamn limb is just going.
It's just doing its own thing.
Every joint is moving.
Yes.
Every single joint.
I was thinking of the League of Silly Walks because I'm a big Monty Python fan.
Clearly you're not, because it's the Ministry of Silly Walks. Yes. Get your fucking facts.
Whoa.
Sorry, I'm tired.
Shots fired at 1 a.m. Shots fired at 1 a.m.
I do want to say one other thing. His head was really fucking big.
Yeah.
Like,
dude.
And coming and forward no out of his neck.
No neck. Like, there was no neck.
No.
if you saw him from the down angle, occasionally there was a neck.
Yeah.
But occasionally.
But no, it was like.
But it was like a forward neck.
It was like his four legs would eat with the separate.
His four legs?
Limbs. I meant to. Like I said, I'm fucking tired. His four limbs were the tentacles from Doc Ock, just all doing their own sort of thing as he's walking.
That's exactly what it is. It makes it just the weirder hearing Christopher Lloyd's voice. I kept thinking to myself that this could have been Doc Brown in another life. You know what I mean? Like, if he just did a little more heroin back
in the
day.
What if he came in wearing Doc Brown's?
I'm not going to lie. This is like some weird inbred Doc Brown and, what is it, Rick from Rick and Morty?
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
just like some weird in incestuous tentacle version of that.
It's just weird because clearly he's the villain. Like from the first time we see him, he's supposed to be like the bad guy.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
But the only thing I could think of was Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like I was waiting for something like that to happen, but he's on meth just flailing.
So, Christopher Lloyd storms in the real world to this grocery store, even though it's kind of unclear what's the real world and what's not.
Yeah.
He storms in crushing the sort of brand name potato chips that are on the shelf.
Oh, man.
Played with a pirate mascot.
I love that R.
Yeah,
is it supposed to be Pirate's Booty? Was that the joke?
I think so.
I get that. Yeah, they didn't get the rights. That was one of the companies that didn't sign off. He storms in saying, we are going to fill the supermarket with our brand of foods. It's called Brand X.
Yes.
And that takes the form in sort of the fantasy world of the mascots with a character named Lady X, voiced by Eva Longoria.
By the way, real quick, wasn't Brand X Russell Brand's TV show?
Yes, it was.
I did not know Russell Brand had a TV show.
Somebody gave him one.
It was awful.
I don't know who.
Okay.
I know who looks at that man and says, you need more airtime. I just don't get it.
Yeah, someone signed up.
I hate Russell Brand, by the way.
Oh, so do I.
It's the worst.
Right. He's awful.
Brand X is not a very attractive name, by the way.
I'm fascinated by how he got Katy Perry. That's the only thing that, like, you know what I mean? So that's why I find him interesting.
She released a new shoe line in, like, recognition of Hillary Clinton. So, like, she's out there.
No, I...
You know what I mean? Like, she's just a... Like, oh, and...
No, that's just typical feminist shit.
No, but it's, like, to celebrate the
Russell
losing
Brand
candidate, we're going to release
heels. Okay, but no, how do you go from... How do you connect that to dating Russell Brand?
They didn't date. They got married.
She's
a
lunatic, is my point.
I think Katy Perry is just a special kind of... Stupid.
She's a lunatic.
Yeah, she is.
Remember, she was a Christian once, and then she kissed a girl.
And she liked it. It's such a weird couple, isn't it? It's fascinating. I find, like, they must have the best sex.
I feel
could
like.
Could you imagine?
Could
you imagine how crazy they are in
yeah,
this sex?
Oh, no, definitely.
It's nuts.
I feel like the craziest thing that would happen would Russell Brand would try to wear her underwear.
Definitely did.
Definitely happened.
I definitely also feel like, you know, you get that facial hair, that hairy, you know. I feel like
that, like,
down
not a
there,
beard.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. Like, he's clean down there. You
from
know
the neck
I mean?
Down, just, there's nothing.
Yeah, and she just has, like, a Sasquatch hiding
there. Okay.
I think that's what's happening.
Osama bin Laden's beard.
That's where it's been this whole time.
What?
We're going to bomb the shit out of it.
Oh, my
okay.
God. Send in Russell Brand, the Moab.
I now remember why we don't record this late.
Oh, man.
I think our best podcasts
oh, wow.
are done after midnight.
Okay, so,
Lady X.
So Brand X.
Lady X. Is the head of the supermarket Nazi party, essentially. Yes. And well, actually, I shouldn't say essentially. These are Nazis.
No, 100%. Oh, yeah. They have the helmets. They have the marches. They're doing goose steps in the end, yeah, for fuck's
they
sake.
They literally Sig Hail. Yeah. That's literally happening. It's not like... It's not subtle references to the Nazi imagery. It is full-on explicit Nazi imagery.
Well, and they might as well just take an actual Nazi footage.
It happens really fast, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like out of nowhere.
It's like they blitzkrieged right into it. It was crazy.
Let's see what you did there. It's pretty strange. Yeah. I guess I want to talk a little bit about the themes of this movie. But what ends up happening is the titular food fight that they refer to is a battle.
Which goes on for so fucking long.
It is pretty long.
It's like 40% of
the movie. Is a battle between the...
Yes, it's most of the movie.
The traditional food icons, they're called Ikes for short in this universe. And
took way too long in the movie to explain that shit.
Yes. And this Brand X Nazi party. What, in your opinion, does Brand X represent?
Kirkland.
Right.
Is it Kirkland Signature? Is that their whole name?
Sure.
Great Value. What's the BJ's?
What's the BJ's name? The only reason I have to fight you on this, on Kirkland, is, and I could be wrong, actually. I could be wrong. So, you know what? Let's just keep talking. I'm going to look it up first.
No, go ahead.
If you're wrong,
I'm pretty sure Kirkland is kosher.
What?
At least the hot dogs are.
No.
I'm pretty sure Kirkland is one of those brands that tries to be like kosher with all their food.
No, Kirkland.
Kirkland sells pork chops.
Okay, never mind. That's why I said I want to look it up real quick.
Nico, do you know the answer for what this actually represents, or do you just have a...
No, I don't. Let me look this up. I'm speculating.
Okay.
Here's my theory. I think that Brand X, again, is the store brand. It's like the alternative to whatever the brand name is.
Well, because it's also not one thing. Like, they came in and they said, oh, we're bringing in our own chips. It started with detergent, and then they went to chips, and then toothpastes, and all this stuff. So it's everything is this one brand.
So this is sort of a weird message for a children's film to be putting out there. But why are the corporate entities the good guys? Like, what's that message all about? Like, you know, the alternative is coming in and giving a cheaper price to consumers and promoting competition. But no, we got to make sure Lay's saves the day at the end of things.
Okay, but does that really not make sense considering the background of this movie?
I guess so. But, like, it's like corporate America. We want monopolies in our supermarkets. Yeah. That's basically what the thing is, right? Yeah. It's like that brand name.
I think Brand X was trying to be a monopoly, though, don't you think?
I think, no, Brand X was the alternative. Like, Brand X is sort of just the cheaper thing that's always on sale.
Well, but they will also Mr. Clipboard has like said in the movie, well, we're gonna replace everything with
it's just
Brand
very
X.
Convoluted because I don't understand how these well established corporate entities can be presented as the good guys.
Okay, there was definitely some weird like Semitic things going on here.
Semitic
things. How do you
Jewish stuff?
Jewish stuff. It was a little Jewy.
A little Jewy.
There was a character who was literally, I mean, he had a face and a body, but he was a nose.
He was a one big nose.
And he was definitely Jewish, and I'm not
he
saying that
he was definitely
to be,
supposed to be Woody Allen.
We'll get to
yes. That was exactly what I thought. It was purposeful. And then, I mean, I don't want to spoil the end there.
We'll get there.
There were
we'll
Jewish
get.
Characters, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was a point where one of the Nazi ladies here, what does she do? A giant burp? And then she just goes, he did it, and they took him away.
Right.
Like, it's this, I think there's this idea of, like, blame. They're trying to, like, blame these and get rid of them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was definitely heavy Nazi.
Lady X said, find the inferior products so we can take over.
This was not.
That was a quote that she said when she's addressing the entire Super Bowl.
There is no subtlety in this movie.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Especially at the end.
But it did skyrocket. Because the first time we see her, she's just trying to seduce Dex.
Yeah,
she's running this criminal empire to get rid of every single product.
She's femme fatale and then Nazi. Literally Hitler.
Yes.
Literally Hitler.
So Lady X is a very attractive character, as you said. There's a lot of sexual overtones, I would say, for sure, including, here's a few key quotes for you.
Oh, boy.
The Daredevil Dan says to a busty woman early on in the film, how about some chocolate frosting? Dex Dogtective says to Lady X's character later on, I'm going to pop your corn.
Okay, but to be fair.
Lady!
It sounds really sexual, but it was clearly, oh, I'm just going to, like, kick your ass.
If you hear every quote he said prior to that. Yeah.
There's a few. He calls her a cold-farted itch later on in the thing.
Yeah.
Lady X says at one particular moment, size only counts for men.
Yep.
I love that.
That was one of them. This is a very sexual movie, which makes it even the more bizarre how this could possibly be a mainstream success. Like, who's going to advertise this? Like, who's going to sign off on something so sexual?
Apparently a lot of people.
Like, there is a close-up shot of Lady X's leg that sort of, she has like these.
That was weird.
Yeah, that
was weird. When she first walks in for this sexual dance scene that we were talking about earlier, the first thing she does is literally throw, in the schoolgirl outfit, she literally just throws her leg straight up into the fucking air and throws her fucking
And then puts
vag,
it on his shoulder.
Suction cups her vag on his, like, thigh. Like,
oh, man.
That was the first thing.
Yeah.
And then later, when she lifted her leg in the air like you were talking about, it was angled to look like she had, like, fucking B-52s flying out of her fucking vag.
Okay, I didn't think that was the point, but I could see what you're saying.
What are they doing?
It was graduate style. It was like they had, like, she had, like, the leggings on.
Okay, I mean, if you want to be inspired by a good
movie,
I don't think it's inspired by a
good movie. I don't
think
the intention was to get planes flying out of her vagina.
I do.
Really? She was, 100%. Like, birthing them?
100%. Like... I could almost see the birthing metaphor.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't agree with it, but it's there.
Possibly.
Tomato, tomato, I guess.
Sure.
Ultimately, there's a big war. Sunshine Goddess was kidnapped by Lady X. And we come to find out that Christopher Lloyd's Mr. Clipboard character is actually a robot. Explaining, I guess, kind of the bizarre movements of all of his limbs.
I think they added that in later.
when they realized they couldn't compensate, yeah.
Lady X is the controlling mechanism of this robot right here. It was her plan the entire time. Is there anything else I missed in terms of the plot?
Well,
or
who was she?
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Who was she?
Oh, she was...
Wasn't she like an expired product?
She was genetically altered prunes.
Big-ass prunes.
Big-ass prunes that didn't sell well. And she was recalled. But she was shelved next to Sunshine Goodness.
And by the way, she was like Ursula level. Fucking ugly, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She was hideous. It was
like kind of like the real people in this movie, where there was a scene we actually got
Oh my god.
Oh my god, yeah.
Holy shit.
There's a man baby in this movie.
Yeah. What the fuck?
So there,
that was terrifying.
There is a point where the logic starts to fold in on itself, and we do get a glimpse of the supermarket in action with the characters running about it.
Literally sprinting through one aisle, just back and forth.
Right, like it's the Amazon River or something. And we get a glimpse of what the people look like in this world, and they are all hideous, including the baby.
Well, no, it's funny because the owner, I guess, of the supermarket,
he's a normal dude.
He looked normal.
He looked like Geppetto.
So it's not like they couldn't have done it.
Geppetto.
They just decided to make this baby...
And the mother,
like the hideous humans on the face of the fucking planet.
Yeah, yeah, they're like Walmart shoppers.
That's
what it was,
essentially.
And then he just hopped on a flying soda, which, by the way, made no sense. And I'm not talking it was shaken up and exploded. No, it literally was just flying.
No, the cap was still on it.
And then the cap went off. That genuinely confused me.
And then he just flew.
It just flew.
Now, mind you. They started flying at the start of the day.
Yeah.
And then they, like, landed in, I guess, a storage closet.
Well, then they blasted into winter by going through a freezer.
Yes.
Yes. And then came out, I guess, the other side of the freezer.
Yeah.
And then nighttime.
And then into the storage closet. And then it was immediately night. So that was a long-ass flight.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of soda in that bottle.
Man, oh, man. Okay. Do we have anything else on the plot? We got to get to the end.
Yeah.
Are you ready for this? Yeah. All right. We'll close on this right here. And a little bit of background for you. First of all, the Jewish overtones are clear. You just hinted at it. You just described it very clearly. This is a very Jewy movie.
The Scientist.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Was Woody Allen.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to describe what you said during the movie, Nick. We got to a scene with this scientist, and he's just a guy with a really big nose. We knew nothing about him other than he had a big nose.
He hadn't even said anything yet.
Yes. And
Nick, but it was like literally like 95% of his head was a fucking nose.
Yes.
Like it was abnormally obnoxious.
No, he was a nose with legs.
So I'm going to try my best to make you look as the least anti-Semitic as I possibly can.
I yelled out, he's a fucking Jew.
No, yeah, you went, who's this Jew? That's what you said.
Yeah, that's the quote.
You said, who's this Jew? And then it took us all of 10 seconds to realize that he had the Jewish Woody Allen voice.
He was 100% a Jew.
And we were dying laughing because you had just called the fact that he was a Jew. But it didn't stop there.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Because later on in the movie, right?
At the end of the movie.
Literally the end. The button
I think
on
the last line.
Thing.
I was just about to say, it's the last line
before the credits started rolling.
It is the punchline.
So fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Dex Dog Detective had just gotten engaged to Sunshine Goodness. They are getting married. And we come to find out that officiating their wedding at the Copa Banana is...
Which is kind of great.
Is a rabbi.
Well, no, we see the milk carton getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Like the glass at Jewish weddings. Mm-hmm. And then it zooms out. Cuts. Mm-hmm. There's no zooming. And then there's the rabbi. And then I said, wait... Who's Jewish?
Like this one of these two characters.
This is
I'm like,
hilarious.
Which one of these two is Jewish?
So far, this could not be going better for where this is about to end up.
Yeah.
Like, this is such perfect setup. It's unbelievable.
This is like 5 seconds.
Yes.
And now, can I just assume that none of us actually expected that question to be answered?
No.
Of course not. No. Of course not. I asked the question.
I think even in Shrek, they did that at one point. They, like, broke the glass or whatever.
I think
did
so.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yes. So Zach,
now I'm not going to rewatch
Zach
Shrek.
Zach asks... As a joke, this is intended as a joke.
Yeah.
Who's Jewish?
Which one of them's Jewish?
And literally 5 seconds later, the Jewish character that Nick had made a comment about earlier on in the film says, oh, I didn't know that Dex was Jewish.
He goes, Dex is Jewish?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then credits.
And credits.
It almost makes the entire film worth the experience.
That is the punchline of the movie.
It was an hour and a half of setup for 2 seconds of punchline.
Totally worth it.
100%.
Who's a better Jew fighting Nazis? All right. Him or Brad Pitt in... Was it Brad Pitt in...
No,
he wasn't Jewish.
Was
not
the
Jewish.
Bear Jew. The group was Jewish. He was just leading the group.
You can talk about Eli Roth. We call him the Bear
Jew.
Actually,
and BJ Novak was in it, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, okay. Who's a better Jew fighting a Nazi?
The nose.
I mean, I think they ultimately won. Well, I guess they killed Hitler.
Yeah. They died in the fire.
Right.
Dex didn't die.
So. Yeah, that's true. Dex didn't
die. And
that
was a lot of Nazis that they had to fight.
It was a lot of Nazis.
Yeah, he got to, you know, just get married to his raisin cat human wife.
Now, the word of that is wrong.
Why was she a cat?
Why was she a raisin? Why was she a human? I don't know.
The world may never know. But we do know that Dex is Jewish.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish dog.
What an unbelievable punchline. I mean, that does show, like, I guess I'll credit the writers with this, but there is a fair amount of self-awareness on the part of people writing this, you know? Even if there was none on the part of Lawrence Kasdanoff.
No.
But they're like, yeah, we're totally making a Nazi, Jewish World War II Holocaust allegory here. Let's make a joke about it at the end.
But this... movie was incredibly racist, anti-Semitic at points, and sexist.
Mm-hmm.
It was just incredible. Who signed off on this?
Again, I don't think it's very clear.
Someone with $45 million dollars.
The New York Times couldn't figure it out. I don't think that we can. This is craziness.
George Soros.
The Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers are behind it.
Fucking knows.
I probably would have signed off on this.
You would have?
Oh, yeah. Give it the okay. The old Adam okay.
Adam okay. Wow. This is hilarious. I wouldn't watch this movie. It is streaming on Amazon Prime, so that's how we got a nice little glimpse at it here. We got to finally use the Amazon Prime account I've been paying for all year. I would not watch it, though, unless you're really high and you're with some friends and you're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Any of those things. Anything else we have on Food Fight?
We need to do more of these.
God, no.
Yeah.
We definitely do.
Oh, yeah.
We need to just really pick some obscure ones.
Yes.
I think the obscure ones from our list that we just kind of forgot.
Yeah, because I think we're afraid of them.
Right. We are afraid
of them. Well, yeah, because we brought up, someone mentioned Food Fight, and we were like, oh, God, what is this?
We're like, yeah, I don't know, maybe.
Well, and I looked it up, and I recognized it from a video I watched a year ago, and I'm like, holy shit, I forgot about this movie. We need to watch this movie.
It was kind of the same way with Kung Pao, too, where it was like, why haven't we done Kung Pao yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as soon as the animation began, as soon as I got a glimpse of this world, I was like, oh, shit.
We're looking at a Wattat classic.
Yeah.
Well,
we're looking at a Wattat-nominated film. That's what we're looking at.
I don't know if you want to say what's funny about it, but if you look it up on IMDb, the picture that they show, because you know they usually show like the characters doing something?
Sure.
The poster is the sun-kissed tuna whale. and the characters are way in the background.
mind you, that shopping cart incident never happens.
Yeah,
no.
But so it's, is that a mouse? Who's in the cart with the Velasic guy?
That's Twinkie.
Is it Twinkie the kid?
Yeah, that's a Twinkie. Yeah,
Twinkie, it's Twinkie the kid.
That's Twinkie
the kid. The Velasic stork and Charlie the sun-kissed tuna.
And little Mrs. Butterworth in the back there.
And too. Mrs. Butterworth in the back. And then the main characters are in the bottom left-hand corner.
Like chasing after.
Like chasing it, yeah.
With, of course, the names Charlie Sheen, Eva Longoria, and Hilary Duff on the top.
Yeah.
Now, okay, one last comment real quick.
Hit me.
This shouldn't surprise anyone, but Charlie Sheen, how old is he when this...
Oh, God, how old is he now? So
this was recorded...
15 years
ago. We're saying in, like, 2000-ish?
Let's say 2002.
Let's say 2002.
15 years ago.
He was born 1965. So
he's 52 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So 37?
Lived a lot of life.
37? How old was Hilary Duff at the time, his love interest?
Oh.
I see where you're going
good
with this.
Good question.
Okay. Hilary Duff was born in 1987. So she's 14, 15?
Oh my
God. She's 30 now, so.
Oh my.
Wow. Oh Lord.
Wow. Okay.
The thing Kasanov. Is, Charlie Sheen, he wouldn't care. No.
No, he really wouldn't.
He's just like, been there, done that.
He would.
Oh man. Wow, okay. Man,
I didn't think about that.
Shit has not gotten much better for Charlie Sheen, though, in the years since this movie. Let me tell you. Unbelievable.
Well, he made a shit ton more money.
Yeah.
He's not doing anything now, is he?
He doesn't need to.
He had that show Anger Management.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the deal with that show. He did, like, one season, and he had the most unbelievable deal on this. He told FX, if this show does a certain amount in the ratings for this entire first season, you got to give me 100 episodes. And I don't know who negotiated this fucking thing, but FX said sure. So it did that well for the first season. So they then made 100 episodes, but they like did like 50 episodes a season because they wanted to just get it over with. So they just pounded out. Just there's literally it lasted
50 episodes season.
Holy shit. Okay, let me see. So here we go. There's two seasons
Why?
Of this show. The second season.
Holy shit!
That's fucking ridiculous.
There are 90 episodes in the second season of this show. They did 10 episode first season, 90 episode second season. Because no one watched the second season.
That's gotta be a record.
it's like any of those like cooking shows on Food Network where no one ever knows when the season starts. No. It's just all one big season. That's what they did with that fucking show.
That is absolutely incredible.
They just pounded it out in 1 year.
Shit.
They aired the whole thing over a year.
If they did one episode a day, that's like...
They did two episodes a year for a whole
that's
year.
That's a quarter of a year.
Two episodes a week for a whole year.
That's a quarter of a year.
What's the like the total rating of the show?
That's fucked up.
The what? Oh, I don't know.
Like, if you go on like just the IMDb page.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Oh, you mean the star rating?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
You infected
6.7 out of 10. I'm talking about the ratings as people watching it.
Yeah, no.
Which, by the way, of course they're going to watch it. This was right at the height of all of the Charlie Sheen-ness.
Yeah, controversy.
Yeah, yeah. It was right at the, it was like a year after he just got fired. It was 2012, so he had just got fired from Two and a Half Men.
Yeah. And he was the highest paid star in the world.
He was a huge
world,
name.
Right?
So, of course, I flipped on the first episode. I'm like, I got to check this out, see what this is. But I realized that it was a total piece of shit. Of course it's going to have a certain rating after the first season.
Is it just Two and a Half Men, but just him?
Right. That's essentially what it, I mean. It's just a little more raunchy, because they can do that. But yeah, they did 100 fucking episodes. I don't know how you write 100 episodes in a year. That's crazy. Isn't that insane?
You hire 100 guys. That's how you do it.
Just say, hey, I need a script.
100 writers. Give me an episode.
Arthur Digby Sellers wrote 150 episodes branded.
What the fuck?
Oh, what are you saying, dude? You're just making up words.
That's a Big Lebowski reference.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, Zach, that was we were talking about ratings right now. What did this movie Food Fight get on IMDb?
Oh.
1.7
out of 100, right?
That's lower than The Room, by
percent?
The way.
1.7%? No. Out of 10.
No, on IMDb it's out of 10.
Okay. Okay.
But who said the Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes?
I said the Rotten.
You said the Rotten Tomatoes score. It was what?
49.
Here's why it's 49. That's the audience rating.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There are zero critical reviews. Okay. So they could not show the critical rating because they don't have one. Right. No critics ever sent a screener for this. Here's what I just realized. We should at one point mine the lowest rated movies list on IMDb to see if we can find any goodness. Let me pull up a few for you right now.
I've looked at that. It's a good list.
Birdemic's got to be on
So the lowest rated IMDb movie is a 1.4. So, wow, Food Fight's
down there.
Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. Codename K-O-Z is a movie that came out last year. It is the lowest rated movie on IMDb. Huh? It's a foreign film, and this actually looks like a real movie. Oh. Wow. Number two is Saving Christmas. The movie that came out a couple years ago starring, I'm not sure. Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2 is number 3.
That's too bad. Baby Geniuses.
Kirk Cameron.
Baby Geniuses
is funny.
Saving Christmas.
Yes, that's the number 2 lowest rated at 1.5.
That's that really super Jesus-y one.
Well,
no, because he's like a diehard Christian.
Like Jesus isn't a sleigh. Like, ho, ho, ho. That's weird.
Jesus Saves Santa.
Daniel the Wizard is number 4.
Daniel Radcliffe, the wizard?
I don't know. Manos, The Hands of Fate, a movie from 1966, is number 5.
I think I've heard of that one.
I don't know.
We have to do this movie. I know this fucking movie.
Have you seen it?
Directed by Harold P. Warren.
Guys, we have to do that movie.
All right.
You have no idea. Oh, it's just insanity.
All right.
Next week.
You got it. All right. We'll see. Pledge This is number 6. Number 7 is Turks in Space.
What?
Turks as in Turkish people?
I believe so.
it's just the actor who played Turk in Scrubs.
Donald.
He's pulling like a Madea, like a Tyler Perry thing.
He's just getting his own series.
I'll give you the description. A family of Turks tries to adapt to
Turkish people? What are they?
It looks like Turkish people.
Try to adapt.
Tell me, what does a Turkish person look like?
Brown.
Zach.
Whoa!
I'm not wrong.
Okay.
A family of Turks try to adapt to
How would you explain it?
To a life in a new solar system. That's number 7. Number 8 is... Again, glossing right over. 8 is Birdemic Shock and Terror.
Okay.
I didn't know that was the subtitle. Number 9 on this list is a movie called Food Fight.
Wow.
So we got pretty close to the bottom.
Holy shit.
And number 10 is Dream.net.
I can't believe Manos is on there. Oh, my God. We have to watch
that. That's incredible.
So there's a couple movies for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. From Justin to Kelly. That's number 15. That's the movie with Kelly Clarkson and Justin Guarini.
Yeah.
The two American Idol. Wow. Okay, yeah, we should take a look at this one day. But for now, it's time to go.
Yes.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
This was fun.
Happy Zombie Day.
And have fun getting into a food fight with your racist uncle at the dinner table this Easter.
I don't want to eat food again.
You've all been naughty.
No,
fucking asshole.